Hello, I'm Tim Parent. This is number 0364, the Stuff File Program, with Peter Anthony Holder, and it comes to you right now.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Now, it's time for an eclectic mix of interviews and some of the oddest news stories you'll ever hear. It's the Stuff File Program with Peter Anthony Holder.
Hi there, ho there! Peter Anthony Holder here with you, and yes, this is indeed another edition of the Stuff File Program, number 0364. And coming up on this edition of the Stuff File Program, you'll meet Steve Tyler, who is the owner of The Gin Tub, a cocktail bar in England where there is no cell phone service. That's because the signals are blocked.
You can block a cell signal, you can't jam a cell signal. You can block a signal, which basically just stops the signal entering your building. So we've installed a shielding, as you say, around our building, a Faraday cage, so which involves copper wire and foil into our walls and our ceiling, which stops the signal entering our building, so there is no signal at all. We do have Wi-Fi within our building, our Wi-Fi, but we won't give you the code.
David Gannon is the founder of Elita Hair Products. He started his company to help a woman save money.
I went out with a girl that was bleaching her hair like at least every 2 weeks, which the bleach causes damage to the hair and the scalp. And she was using hair mask that cost like $120 for 16 ounces. It was really working and helping the hair to get back to the natural existence. And I decided to try and make something similar for a lot less that people can afford.
Peter Franklin, the Gabby Cabby, shares a slice of the Big Apple from his yellow mobile conveyance lounge. They're having a heat wave in New York. The subway cars are cool, but the stations are not.
It's very comfortable in the train. As a matter of fact, sometimes it gets a little bit too cold. What they can't air condition is the stations. And they've tried every trick in the book, but how do you do it? So the fact of the matter is that the temperatures get well over 100 on the stations. They have fans, and they have little this, and they have little that. But basically speaking, when you're on the streets of New York, and you're heading towards the subway, you know for at least a few minutes, you're going to be sweltering. And that's what they did this week. They were taking measurements, and on almost all the stations, the temperatures were over 100.
And there's lots and lots and lots of stuff, and of course, an idiot of the day, the guest Slater. The person who told you this was show number 0364 was Tim Parent, the senior producer of The Morning Show at Global in Toronto, and a former news reporter that I used to work with back in the day, and one heck of a nice guy as well. Thank you very much, Tim, for doing the guest slate on this edition of the Stuff File Program, a program that's also heard on Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Well, let's get right to the stuff, shall we? A teenager was arrested after he managed to get some information about sexy workers at Hooters in a clever, albeit illegal, way. Police in Michigan say the teenager pretended to be a police officer when he entered the store. 18-year-old Nicholas M. First is accused of impersonating a police officer in order to get the personal information so he could cozy up to the Hooters waitresses on Facebook. First walked into the Hooters in Cotchville Township and announced that he was an undercover officer. He then asked to see a list of all the people who work there, because apparently Cotchville has a habit of hiring teenage undercover detectives. He took some time to look over the list, and he circled the names of the women he was interested in. He then asked for more information on those specific employees. That is when workers began to be suspicious and called police. First was arrested, and he faces up to 4 years in prison for the felony charge of impersonating a police officer. Well, I guess for the next 4 years, his Facebook relationship status will be complicated. Yeah. And Michael Davis says he was at a car wash in Shreveport, Louisiana, washing his car when a man approached pointing a gun at him. It was one of those car washes where you washed your car yourself, you know, that kind. He said, "Give me your keys and your money." And I said, "What'd you say?" Davis was holding a high-pressure sprayer. You see where this is going, right? So I took the sprayer and I just sprayed it right in his face. His dash cam was running, and it captured the incident, showing Davis spraying the would-be robber with the power washer and forcing him to flee. Then a second man came on camera attempting to grab the sprayer from Davis. I heard his friend try to run and get my backside, so I turned around and sprayed him and hit him, and he took off running. They both took off running. Police are searching for the pair. Well, I'm guessing their criminal career is all washed up. Yeah. And according to police reports, a man walked into a bank in Leipzig, Germany, wearing a mask and carrying a blank gun. He allegedly pointed the gun at staff and demanded they hand over money, forced them to open the time-delayed safe, and waited 25 minutes for the safe to open. He allegedly left with nearly 40,000 euros, that's about 47,700 bucks U.S. A passerby had seen the man enter the bank and called the police, who were waiting outside to catch him. Police had also located his getaway vehicle, a bicycle, hidden behind an oak tree. It also had a backpack with his DNA on it. The unidentified man is an author who wrote a novel where the protagonist robbed a bank, then fled on a bike, and had a change of clothes and a backpack hidden behind an oak tree. The robber was caught in the novel, too, by the way. The real-life suspect was charged with extortion under threat of force, extortionate abduction, and illegally carrying an alarm gun. His lawyer said he intends to plead guilty. Well, he'll have plenty of time to write a sequel. I wonder if it'll be a story of a prison break. I wonder if that'll fail, too. Yeah. And finally, in this section of Stuff File News, before we get to our first guest here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder, a firm in Geneva plans to open a cafe where customers can enjoy oral sex while they sip their morning coffee. Not everyone is happy with the idea. The plan for the sex cafe has been brewing for several months, said Bradley Charvet of the Geneva firm Face Girl. He was saying this to Geneva's Le Matin newspaper recently. Modeled on similar establishments in Thailand, the proposed Geneva cafe would add a new dimension to the sex trade in a city where prostitution is legal, although strictly controlled, with sex trade workers required to have valid permits as part of a bid to fight people trafficking. Put simply, the business model would see men ordering a coffee and using an iPad to select a prostitute they want to perform oral sex on them. They would then sit at the bar. In 5 or 10 minutes, it's all over, Charvet explained to Le Matin. At 60 Swiss francs, with a possible 5-franc surplus for a latte macchiato, the coffee would be the most expensive in Geneva. It would, however, in theory at least, be perfectly within the bounds of the law. Geneva's Department of Security and the Economy are now looking at the cafe's plans. Okay, where do I begin? First of all, they could probably use the same slogan as Maxwell House Coffee. Second, I'm not into prostitution personally, and I also don't drink coffee, but hypothetically, if I were to venture into this cafe, I think just to be on the safe side, I'd order my coffee black. Anyway, speaking of ordering drinks, let's get to our first guest here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. A new English cocktail bar offers something truly old-fashioned on its menu, the chance to talk to real people instead of staring down at your cell phone. The Gin Tub in Brighton has won rave reviews in its first week of business by installing something called a Faraday Shield, which is built into the ceiling. It effectively blocks a cell signal. On the line right now is Steve Tyler, the proprietor of the Gin Tub. He joins us from Brighton, England. Hi, Steve.
Hi there.
Thanks for being on the program with us. I got to admit, right off the bat, I got to tell our listeners, when I tried to call you earlier, the phone just rang and rang and rang, and I never got through to you guys, so I'm assuming it works.
Yeah, it does work, unless you sit by the window and then it doesn't work. We're working on the window problem. We will solve it.
Okay. Now, let's right now clarify the situation as to what exactly you're doing, because there are certain illegalities in blocking cell signals, but that's not what you're doing, right?
So, yeah, you can block a cell signal. You can't jam a cell signal. So you can install jammers, and that will jam all signals. Or you can block a signal, which basically just stops the signal entering your building. So we've installed shielding, as you say, around our building, a Faraday cage, so which involves copper wire and foil into our walls and our ceiling, which stops the signal entering our building, so there is no signal at all. We do have Wi-Fi within our building, our Wi-Fi, but we won't give you the code, so you can't use it.
So I'm assuming that obviously this is something that you did with intent, because you built it within the structure that you have as a cocktail bar. So how long in the process were you debating that this is what you wanted to do?
Well, the reason it came to that was we put telephones on the table so you can ring the bar from the table, instead of you having to go to the bar. So it's the old-fashioned telephones just directly to the bar and the bar directly back to you. And whilst we were doing that, I decided that I didn't want people using their phones for anything other than my phones. So we decided that then we would investigate how we were going to stop people using their phones, and what effect that would have on the public, and would they still come to the bar? So we did some inquiries, asked people, and everyone we asked said, that sounds amazing. Well, we don't have to go on Facebook or Twitter or anything like that. We said, no, we're not going to allow it. And to a man or woman, everyone thought it was a good idea. So once we installed it, and it worked, everyone was amazed. It's like we created something modern by going old school with cable phones.
We should mention, as you said, you have basically old rotary phones that you have on each table, and those phones can only basically call the bar to order more drinks or talk to other tables, right?
Yeah, you can call the bar and you can call other tables. The etiquette of calling other tables is you must buy them a drink if you do. So as you say to the women, or ask for champagne. So what it's done, I think that what we do in our bar, we're not very big, and we ask people to share tables with, if you're two, then two people might sit at your table. And with mobile phones, say your partner goes to the toilet, the first thing you'll do is get your phone out and insulate yourself from social contact with anyone else. Because as soon as you look at your phone, you're socially not contactable in everyone else's eyes. So if you haven't got a phone and it doesn't work, you have to talk to the people at your table. And that's exactly what's happening. People are talking to people at the table that they wouldn't normally talk to. They would just be on their phone. And it's created old-school-type pubs again.
Now, how large is your establishment? How many people can it hold?
It can hold 80. So we hold 80 people.
Okay.
Seating. So we only allow seating. We don't allow standing.
And the people who come into the pub, are they old-school folks? Are they old people who predate the modern use of the cell phone? Or are you getting
It's a complete mixture. We have one table of 22-year-olds and one table of 60-year-olds, and they're all, and they're actually talking to each other as well, which is really nice. It's the demographic we have is completely across the board. I mean, we are obviously a gin bar, which specialises in gin, and they're all in there for gin, which is the new black in the UK. So it's everyone's really enjoying the fact that they can talk about the gin, talk about the bar, talk about the fact that they can't use their phones. It's creating interaction with everyone in the bar.
You're getting a lot of attention for doing this, and I would assume your patrons are loving it, but when you first opened up and you had this idea, was there any apprehension on your part that it might not go over well?
Well, obviously there was a certain amount of apprehension, but then I thought, if you're one of these people who's addicted to your phone, don't come to my bar, and if you do need to make a phone call, go outside, make the phone call, come back in again. You know, nothing terrible is going to happen if you're not contactable for an hour and a half. People seem to think, somebody said to me about, oh, what about security? I said, well, you can't get a phone signal on the underground, and I think that's far less secure than my bar. So you're far more dangerous on the underground than you are in my bar of a terrorist attack.
So as I mentioned,
mobile phones can prevent that. Yeah.
As I mentioned, you are getting a lot of attention. So what kind of media attention have you received so far? I mean, here you are right now talking to Canada. The story has literally gone worldwide. Are you surprised by the reaction you've received?
Absolutely, completely shocked by the reaction I received. It was a throwaway idea. It was an idea I wanted to put in the bar, not to promote the bar worldwide or anything like that. Simply just I wanted old school going out socialising, so I put it in, and it happened to be mentioned to the local newspaper that I'd done it, and from that it went worldwide. I just can't believe that the world hasn't thought of it before. You know, it's so popular. I'm shocked, as you can tell, the world is ringing me up asking about it. And every person I've asked about it, or has asked me about it, has said, it's a great idea. Why hasn't anyone thought of it? And I asked myself the same question. Why didn't anyone do this before me?
Well, now that you have done it, are you hearing from other bar owners who are asking about how you've done it, and can they do the same thing?
I think it's going to become the norm. I think bars, lots and lots of bars, but especially when they see how successful we are and the reaction of the public to what we've done, they will do it as well, because it's going to bring back the reason to go to a bar is to interact with people, not to interact on the internet, it's to interact in person. And it's going to bring that back, and that was starting to fade out. Everyone sitting in bars on their phones. So I think if bars need to ban it to bring back that social dynamic where we talk to each other and not somebody else who's not with us.
As you said earlier, if somebody wants to use their cell phone, they don't have to go to your bar. But have you had anyone who's complained about it?
We've had a complaint that they did get a signal, yeah. she goes to the phone, you know, I'm getting a signal. I said, I'm really sorry, we moved you. So we moved it to where she didn't. So she was much happier.
So you're basically, it sounds like you're basically saving people from themselves. I mean, if this woman is upset,
yeah,
she's
are.
Got a signal.
We are. People are addicted to their phones, and it's almost like it's an addiction-free zone. You know, go cold turkey for 2 hours, come to my bar. And of course, your wife can't ring you up either if you're in my bar. So you just, really sorry, darling, I didn't get a signal. I'm in the gin tub. Who knows where you were, really? But my phone won't work.
Do you see this idea spreading to other, not only just other bars, but I could see restaurants doing this, other businesses where people congregate? Would you see this being something that becomes popular in other locations?
I think it will become the norm. I think what there'll be areas to use your phone as there are areas to smoke. And I think it will change the social dynamic. And I didn't set out to do that. I just think that the public are realizing with our bar how much nicer it is when there are no phones in a bar. Everyone talks to everyone. It's really nice. It's nice to sit next to a couple that you actually start talking to, because you can't hide behind your phone when your partner goes. So it's created a different vibe, a different feel, as it used to 30 years ago when British pubs were famous for being British pubs. What they are now is just restaurants on our phones, and everyone sits there on their phones. So, no, I'm hoping it's going to change the industry and change the world. Hey, wouldn't that be great?
Well, you certainly are onto something. I just want to make sure I get all the plugs in there, because we do have listeners who are worldwide. So if anybody happens to be in Brighton, where exactly is the Gin Tub, and what are your opening hours?
So the Gin Tub is in Hove, which is a part of Brighton and Hove, and we are opening as our 4 till late. So we open every day from 4 o'clock till past midnight, depending on how many people are in. So, and Friday, we don't book tables because we're too busy, but we will always try and get you in. They're very friendly.
Excellent. Well, Steve, I think you have hit upon something that is a revolutionary idea, even though that revolution goes back years
very
and years.
Simple revolutionary idea. Yeah. We actually contacted Pokemon to ask them to put one of their things in our bar, because no one's going to find it.
Great idea. Steve?
Yeah, we haven't heard back from them yet.
Steve, I thank you very, very much for taking the time to be on the program with us.
No, you're welcome. See you soon. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Steve Tyler, owner of the Gin Tub in Brighton, England. You can find out more info by going to their website at thegintub.co.uk. You can also go to my website at thestufffile.com, go to the What's On page for this show, which is show number 0364, and you'll find the link.
You're listening to The Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. Drop Peter a line. He'd love to hear from you. You can email him at peter@thestufffile.com or catch up with him on Twitter or Facebook. There's more Stuff File coming your way in just a few moments.
Kelly Alexander Show is your place to be for everything to do with health, lifestyle, and entertainment. Join us as we chat with celebrities like Emmy winner Mia Michaels from So You Think You Can Dance, best-selling recording artist Taylor Dane, and world-renowned astronaut Julie Payette. We also cover important topics like breast cancer awareness and how to help your child through bullying. All this and more, please join us, www.kellyalexandershow.com.
It's The Kelly Alexander Show.
Capture your need for sound.
Peter Anthony Holder here. Have you ever noticed on some of those public broadcasting pledge drives, they tend to sound like ransom demands in a kidnapping?
Hey, your kids like this, Mr. Rogers. It would be most unfortune if, for some unforeseen reason, you weren't in the neighborhood no more.
Well, I'm here to ask for your support in a non-threatening, non-obligatory kind of way. Part of the success of The Stuff File depends on the generosity of its listeners worldwide. So if you can, and if you want, please feel free to make a small one-time donation. Just go to the website at thestufffile.com and click on the PayPal donation button. You can donate $10, $5, or even $1, whatever you'd like.
You know that big bird? That would be one huge drumstick, if you know what I mean.
If you have a PayPal account, it's an easy transfer. And if you don't, all major credit cards are accepted. Your generosity would be much appreciated in keeping this show running.
About that antique roadshow, they might be seeing a little more concrete than they originally anticipated.
No strong-arm tactics, no ransom demands, just a simple please and thank you. To donate, visit thestufffile.com.
This is the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. Pay very close attention. There could be a test leader.
And still to come on the program, we'll talk about a new hair care products company and a special offer for said hair care for Stuff File listeners. Plus, Peter Franklin, the Gabby Cabby, shares a slice of the Big Apple from his yellow mobile conveyance lounge. We also have an idiot of the day coming your way, plus lots more Stuff File news right here, right now, on a program also heard on Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Well, the thief who ransacked a community greenhouse in County Durham, England in July, got away. But according to residents, among his bounty was a bottle of rum that is usually offered only as a constipation remedy, in that it contained a heavy dose of the aggressive laxative lactulose. Said one resident, maybe the thief has left a trail for the police. Yes, crime does leave a stain on society, doesn't it? And it happened in broad daylight right outside a convenience store in Colorado Springs, Colorado. A man calling himself Jesus stabbed a man that he called the devil, witnesses say. Jesus was identified as Ernest Mazik, and police say the victim was Jonathan Ledbetter, who was hospitalized in serious condition. This is supposed to be a safe street corner spot, said witness Andrew Morgado. The idea that somebody would do this on a Wednesday afternoon is absolutely horrifying. Right. He should have waited until the Sabbath like a normal Jesus. And a British fitness enthusiast posted a video of herself pole dancing with one very unusual twist. She was in labor at the time. Kat Bailey, owner of Pole Cat Fitness in Nottingham, England, posted a video on Facebook showing her getting one last pole dancing session in before heading to the hospital to give birth. So I'm officially in labor. Got a few hours before we go to the hospital, so I thought I'd do some pole dancing between contractions, Bailey wrote in the video's description. The expectant mother's condition doesn't seem to impede her strength or flexibility. You know, I can't wait for years from now when Kat shows that video at her child's wedding reception. It should bring the house down, shouldn't it? Yeah. And state police tried to pull a man over as he was driving through Detroit, Michigan, but he had something he wanted to do first. So he drove until he lost control of his car, climbed the curb, and figured out that he was not going to escape. The thing he wanted to do? Running from the cops was on my bucket list, he told them. And that was the charge on suspicion of which he was arrested, that and possession of marijuana. One wonders if the rest of his bucket list will also end up on his rap sheet. And a Georgia man who reportedly used part of his $3 million in lottery winnings to deal drugs has pleaded guilty to drug trafficking and firearm charges. Court records show that Ronnie Music of Waycross pleaded guilty in July on the 22nd to charges of conspiracy to distribute methamphetamine and being a felon in possession of firearms. Federal prosecutors said Music, who won $3 million in the Georgia lottery, used the money to buy methamphetamine to sell. Prosecutors say the case began when several people were caught trying to sell 11 pounds of methamphetamine worth $500,000. U.S. Attorney Ed Tarver said in a statement that Music tried to test his luck by using lottery winnings to deal drugs and now faces decades in prison because of his unsound investment strategy. In other words, he's facing the music, I guess. You know, some people really like to press their luck even when they've been extremely lucky already. Yeah, well, Mr. Music's luck just ran out. The Chessington, England World of Adventures theme park, after upgrading its authentic jungle experience, nonetheless had to post a noise restriction in July because some patrons apparently cannot resist the urge to do loud Tarzan impressions, which officials said confused the monkeys. So basically, because of the humans, they're going ape. And finally, in this section of Stuff File News, before we get to our next guest here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder, 57-year-old Alan George Matthews has pleaded guilty in Port Macquarie, Australia, in their local court, to performing unauthorized surgery on another man in a motel room. He admitted removing the man's left testicle, but pleaded not guilty to reckless, grievous bodily harm. His 52-year-old patient had advertised online seeking help with a medical issue, police said. Okay, let's take a step back here, shall we? Just what kind of nut advertises online to have someone else remove one of his, well, nuts? Also, just what kind of person has the balls to answer such an ad? And in this kind of transaction, who pays whom? That's what I want to know. Inquiring minds want to know. Anyway, let's get to our next guest here on the Stuff File program, shall we? How does someone get into the hair care products business? Apparently, there are just as many different ways as there are people. Take the story of David Gannon. He's a businessman who is the driving force behind the Elita Hair Products. He joins us on the line from California to share his unique journey towards hair care products. Hi, David.
Hi.
Thanks for being on the program with us. So how did you get into the hair care products business?
Thank you. Being an entrepreneur, I went out with a girl that was bleaching her hair like at least every 2 weeks, which the bleach causes, it's a harsh chemical that causes damage to the hair and the scalp. And she was using a hair mask that cost like $120 for 16 ounce, and it was really working and helping the hair to get back to the natural existence. And I decided to try and make something similar for a lot less that people can afford. And I sat with chemists and scientists, and we created a hair mask that is natural. And I made sure that to start the company with, to use only natural products, only natural ingredients, and no harsh chemicals, sulfate-free, paraben-free. I made sure it's not tested in animals and made in USA. And we came up with this mask that actually was even better than what I was looking for. And it really treats the hair and the scalp. And then I created 9 more products, shampoo, conditioner, and styling cream, volume spray. And with everything we do, we try to use new technologies, better ingredients, like Moroccan, argan oil, like borage oil, and quinoa, keratin, and you know, the idea of the company is that women spend a lot of money on their hair. Today there is a lot of hair extension, and they go out of the salon and they look beautiful. And in order to keep it beautiful and feel good about your hair, it's you need to use great products. So we created the best products possible, and the price is half or one-third of anything that is similar.
Okay, so as you mentioned, as I said in the introduction, you were a businessman, but before you got into the hair care business 4 years ago, had you done anything before that involving hair care of any kind?
No, I just, you know, I love women. Like one woman told me one time, hair is the glory of a woman. And of course, I have hair, you have hair, and I just looked for something that would be pure, high quality and that will be affordable for, you know, everybody that go to a hair salon and they can get great hair products that are natural and, you know, they bring up the best of your hair. And also, we care a lot about the scalp, treating the scalp and the roots. So all my products are great for the scalp and the roots, and they have natural UV protection. And, you know, we created more products, and everything is with concern about health and performance and being natural.
So basically what you're saying from the beginning of the story and how you started doing this is, this was for the love of a woman, basically, that you did this, which is what so many things are done on this earth for, right?
Right, exactly.
Okay, so one of the things that, especially considering, like you say, you didn't have a background in hair care before this, one of the things you have to do in order to be successful is to get people who are in the hair care industry behind you in
right.
order to make your product successful. So how did you go about doing that? Did you go to salons? Did you go to hair care professionals? How did you get the word out?
Yeah, what I did is every product, I have now 9 products, every product that I create takes me between 6 months to a year. We develop the product first time, then I take it to few hair salons that I trust, and I listen and I see the results, then I revise it again and again. Some products took 20 times to revise before it came out, because I decided that I don't make the hair product for myself, that I'll be happy. So I'm going to very high end hair stylist and also a hair extension specialist. And so it's happened. My product been used in runway shows, in TV series like Scandal, and it's been used in Univision, the Spanish TV. And I know a true stylist that telling me about it. And I just create until I know that a lot of stylists tell me that it's perfect, and then we create and come up with the line. So I do use stylists to help me with creating the product, meaning to tell me what's the results and what needs to be done.
As you know, there are different kinds of hair, as there are different kinds of women. The fact of the matter is that there are, for instance, women of color whose hair quality and texture is totally different from others. Is or are your products something that can be used across the board by people of various ethnic backgrounds, for instance?
Absolutely, and I have testimonial for that. I have from all different kind, African American, Latin, just Caucasian, and thank God nothing will be good for 10 out of 10, but I would say that my products would probably be good for 80% of women. And I discovered also that the people that had problem with dry scalp, with even psoriasis or any difficulties, it's my products really cures it. It is the symptoms that come in with that, and because it's natural and pure, it helps even people with difficulties on the scalp, and it treats the hair beautifully. And like I said, it's good for certain different ethnic groups.
Is it a product that can be used by men as well?
Of course. I use, there's few things, there's like the mask, unless, I mean, you need to have long hair for that because it's a deep conditioning. But a lot of men using my products, and a lot of women customers, hairdressers tell me how their husbands or their sons, they use the product and they love it.
You mentioned you have 9 different products?
Right.
What are the products that you have?
Well, I started with the hair mask repair, which is a deep conditioner. Then I made the shampoo, and there is also a 60 minutes conditioner. It's a daily conditioner. There is a leave-in conditioner, which is a spray, and it's help detangles and give life to the hair, give condition, hydration. And then there is a styling cream. There is a volume spray that gives volume to the hair. And then I made the touch-up cream for to blend white and black hair. Like myself, I have white patches in my hair, and this is like a makeup for the hair. It's daily use, and it works beautifully. And then there is also a restorative serum that helps. It's developed by a scientist, and it's natural, and it helps to mimic. It mimics the proteins that are missing at the hair shaft, and it helps to create new hairs and also strengthen your roots and prevent hair loss.
Now,
and then there is also oil. There is luxurious oil that's made with five oils, that three of them are organic, and it's, again, it's sulfate-free, paraben-free, and it's great.
Now, as I mentioned earlier, there's also a website. There is elitahair.com, where people can find out more information. Is that the best way to get your products? How does one purchase Elita Hair Care product, hair care products?
They can purchase it. Mostly it would be either elitahair.com, or there is few like hair supply and hair salons, but it's mostly locally in California.
So again, people can go to the website. That's Elita Hair. That's E-L-I-T-A Hair, H-A-I-R.com, correct?
Right.
David, thank you very, very much for taking the time to be on the program with us. Very interesting concept indeed.
Thank you so much.
David Gannon, the man behind Elita Hair products. Again, you can go to their website at elitahair.com. Plus, there is a special offer waiting for Stuff File program fans. When you purchase Elita Hair products, use the promo code STUFF10. That's STUPH10, STUFF10. That will entitle you to a 10% discount on your purchase. That's promo code STUFF10. You can also go to my website at thestufffile.com, go to the What's On page for the show, which is show number 0364, and you'll find the promo code and the link. You're listening to The Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder.
I'm Bob DiRigo-Jones, and this is Let's Be Fair. Until about 20 years ago, diving boards were a common part of swimming pools across the United States. In fact, a blog devoted to pools says that back then, almost 90% of pools had diving boards. Today, it says almost 90% don't have them. Why? According to an article in the Wall Street Journal, diving boards started to vanish after lawsuits over diving board injuries began producing awards in the millions of dollars. The cost of insurance to cover diving boards skyrocketed, so the springboards were quickly removed by most property owners. And that's a shame. Not just because children across America are missing out on a lot of fun, but because removing diving boards can actually make a pool less safe. Let's be fair, that sounds counterintuitive, but statistics reveal that most pool injuries don't involve diving boards. They happen when people dive into the shallow end and hit their head. When there were diving boards, swimmers could quickly see which end of the pool was deep. Today, they don't have that visual guide. Learn more. Visit our website at centerforamericatv.org.
Hi, this is Wynonna Judd, and you probably don't think of me as a person with an eating disorder, but here's my truth. Eating disorders are real, and they are not just about losing weight. Eating disorders are the way you feel about your body and the way you treat yourself. For years, I have been a compulsive overeater, and it wasn't until its effects threatened my health, my family, and my career that I finally reached out for help. Recovering from an eating disorder is possible, and I'm living proof. But you have to take the first step, so I urge you to visit nationaleatingdisorders.org.
Latitude, 47 degrees, 14 minutes north. Longitude, 84 degrees, 39 minutes west. Location, Montreal, Canada. This is the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder.
Now, The Stuff File presents The Gabby Cabby, direct from his yellow mobile conveyance lounge in the city that never sleeps, New York. Once again, here's Peter Anthony Holder.
And we do indeed have, from the steamy city of New York City, Mr. Peter Franklin, The Gabby Cabby. Hi, sir.
Hi. Well, you know, you really can't complain about steamy because everybody has an air conditioner. What really drives you crazy is the noise, because wherever you go in New York City, you're hearing. And here comes my wonderful imitation of an air conditioner. But other than the deafening noise, we can survive.
But I understand that in some subway stations, it's a bit of a different story, right?
Yeah, well, you see, when they built the subway stations, I mean, it was out of the question of having air conditioning at all. Now, all the trains are air conditioned. So if you can make it to the train, you know, and it carries millions of people every day, it's very comfortable in the train. As a matter of fact, sometimes it gets a little bit too cold. What they can't air condition is the stations. And they've tried every trick in the book, but how do you do it? So the fact of the matter is that the temperatures get well over 100 on the stations. They have fans, and they have little this, and they have little that. But basically speaking, when you're on the streets of New York, and you're heading towards the subway, you know for at least a few minutes you're going to be sweltering. And that's what they did this week. They were taking measurements, and on almost all the stations, the temperatures were over 100.
Wow. They must have people fainting left and right in subway stations.
Well, all over the city. I mean, look, New York is probably one of the few places where, on one hand, during the wintertime, people are getting frostbite, and on the other hand, during the summer, people are getting heat stroke. No, you have to be very, very, very careful. Most people wear shorts and T-shirts and wear big hats, and the ladies are all walking around with parasols and everything, so you combat it. But when you get into your car, you get into your bus, you get into the subway, then you're okay. It's just getting there.
Well, let me ask you this. If it's really, really hot in the subway stations, and they're subterranean, if they're really hot in the subway stations in the summer, do they get cold in the winter?
Yes, they do. And you have the same situation that you can be standing on the station chattering away, you know, your teeth. And then as soon as the train comes in, it's nice, warm, and cozy. But New Yorkers are very used to it. I mean, people from out of town are a little surprised. And, of course, when the train comes in and you get on it, it's like, oh, thank God. What I usually do when I'm out on the streets of New York, my trick is that I'll go into a McDonald's and I'll sit at a table, not eating anything, because I don't particularly like their food unless they're a sponsor of your show. And I sit there. Now, if some guy comes over and says these tables are only for eating, my ploy is to say, well, I'm just waiting for my wife who went to get the food. So that buys me a few minutes of air conditioning.
So you don't have any air conditioning in the cab?
Oh, yeah, but sometimes I do have a life. I do have a life other than sitting in my yellow mobile conveyance lounge. No, there's no problem in the cab. But that's, again, as long as I'm digressing here, one of my oldest tricks, which I've pulled every once in a while, is I'll be driving around with the windows closed, and I'll have the air conditioning off. So now the passenger gets into the cab, and it takes about 30 seconds for him to say, oh, driver, don't you have air conditioning? And I'll say, yes, of course, I have it on full blast. And I wait another 30 seconds before I tell him I'm pulling his leg and I put the air conditioning on.
Well, speaking of the heat, I understand there's a city councilor who recently wrote a letter concerned about the air conditioning or lack thereof in public schools.
Yeah, well, that's because we're very unique in New York. We don't automatically promote kids. All over the United States, you can be the dumbest kid or the kid with the biggest problem or the terrible teacher, and you go from the third grade to the fourth grade to the fifth grade, you just get automatic promotion. New York City doesn't do that. Here, they leave you back and make you go to summer school, and each summer, we have about 50,000 kids that are going to summer school. Out of a million, so that's not too bad. And, of course, that's not really fair because it's bad enough that the kids are getting punished in a way for not doing well with their studies, but to make them sit in sweltering heat. I will always blame the teacher. I mean, as a parent of three who grew up in New York City, it's not that I'm being defensive about my children or other children, but I remember in almost all instances when I ran across a kid who was having trouble in school, including up to college, come to think of it, it usually was the dopey teacher.
Meanwhile, a story that I saw on your website at Gabby.com, I was actually kind of surprised because I see that New York is lifting its ban on serving food or beverages at funeral homes, and I didn't even know that that was a thing.
Nobody did. I mean, I was, you know, it's a weird world is weird. We didn't know it. So now, all of a sudden, they decided to repeal the law, and if the funeral home wants to serve you know, food at a funeral service, they can. So catch this. I mean, some guy walking up and down the aisle saying, hey, get your cold beer. Who wants a meatball hero? No, I mean, you know, you would expect it might be a reception or, you know, different religions do different things. But during the service, to sit there having a meatball hero, but that's it. Now you can do it. So come on down to New York and have food while you say goodbye to the dearly departed.
Somehow cold cuts seems so wrong under the circumstances.
Ooh, that was a bad pun.
Yeah, anyway, I understand with your presidential election coming up that you actually have a choice for president that isn't even American.
Well, that's a new feature that I'm doing on my website now, which is Gabby.com. Each week, I mean, I'm so embarrassed with Trump and Hillary, and I think they're two terrible, terrible people, and I apologize to the world for them. I pick each week some good-looking babe who's a politician in another country. Now, I know that's being a male chauvinist and all that. Too bad I'm doing it. So the one that I have this week is a lady who's in the German parliament, and she's a good-looking. Because I figure if we can have two dopes like Trump and Hillary, let's have something substantial like good-looking.
Okay. So you're doing this each week on your website?
Yeah, I put on a different one. This lady's name is Julia Bunk. And Bunk has another meaning.
Oh, it has several.
Which I'm not going to discuss on your family-oriented show. So she's been saddled with that. No, that's it. Same thing. Listen, when I got married all those years ago, I decided if I'm going to marry somebody, I'm going to marry the best-looking woman in the world, and that's what I did. I'm a very shallow person, Peter.
Okay, fair enough. Now, I understand that there was a fake, somebody was duped into buying fake jewelry?
Listen, I expect you to be swindled when you come to New York City, but not if you're a gem merchant and, you know, I mean, you should know better. And here's a guy who comes over from Hong Kong, gets $1 million worth of gems on 47th Street, and it turns out they're all fake, you know, because today you can manipulate things with computers and gem things and this, that, and the other thing. So when the cops got involved, they said, well, why did you buy it from the guy? He said, well, because he gave me a certificate. I mean, and that's a gem merchant from Hong Kong. He gave him a certificate? You know what I mean? That's like lots of times when I say to people, why did you go to such a terrible hotel in New York? Oh, well, it was on the internet. Give me a break. So anyway, I don't know whether he'll get his $1 million back, but listen, folks, if somebody gives you a certificate saying that the gem he just sold is worth $1 million, I think you better look into it a little bit more than a piece of paper.
Will do. And in the meantime, I know in the past on this program you have bragged and bragged and bragged and bragged about the water that you get to drink in New York City. And I looked at your website and I said, oh, Lord, he's going to brag about it again. So go ahead.
Well, but it's true. And, you know, most times when I meet people and tourists, they think, I say, you know, can you drink the water from the tap? Because in most places in the world, you can't. New York, you absolutely can. The only problem could be in New York is, let's say, if you're in a building that has bad pipes or something. But generally, we all drink our water from the tap. And when you see people, New Yorkers walking around with a little bottle of spring water, all it means is that we bought the bottle once, and now we refill it from the tap. So the EPA, which is the Environmental Protection Agency here in the United States, did a look at it, you know, scientifically, and they came out and said New York has the best, cleanest, purest water of any place that there is. So now my bragging is factual. You know, come on down and drink the water.
There you go. And last but not least, before we let you go, there's always a celebrity sighting that you have to share on your website. Who'd you see this time around?
You may not believe this, but I must be having a senior moment because I sent you an email.
Well, I'll tell
telling you. And I can't for the life. Give me a hint.
I'll tell you his name, Montel Williams.
Okay, that's a hint. Okay, yeah. No, I mean, it's just sometimes I forget. I mean, because let me tell you something. The one thing I'm not going to brag about is seeing celebrities in New York, because you see them all the time. You really do. No, I really did see him. I was at a Kennedy Airport, and he had arrived from Germany, I understood. Somebody said, oh, there he is. He's coming in on Lufthansa, you know. And I saw him. I recognized his bald head. But then I saw in the newspapers the next day that he had been arrested in Berlin or stopped in Berlin because he was smoking pot, which really kind of surprised me. I thought the Germans were even more advanced than we were. I don't think they gave him any jail time, so I made the smart aleck remark on my website. I saw Montel not smoking pot.
So there you go. But as you say, you always see celebrities in New York City, whether it's... So what we've learned, you always see celebrities in New York City. It's hot in the subway stations, but you can always drink the water. There you go.
That's right. And why would anybody care? Because New York City doesn't belong to me. It belongs to the whole world. I mean, there isn't a person who's listening to you now who hasn't been here, doesn't want to come here, doesn't have a relative here. So I look upon New York as, yeah, I'm temporarily using it, but it's really, it belongs to everybody.
And everyone can go and visit. And by the way, if they go and visit, they should also check out the tours that you give. And people can find more information about that by going to your website, which is gabby.com. Peter, thank you very much for being on the program with us once again.
Thank you. Have a lovely day, everybody. Bye-bye.
The Stuff File.
And we're just about out of racetrack for this edition of the Stuff File program. We do indeed have an idiot of the day coming your way in just a matter of moments, but I got a few more Stuff File news stories to share with you here on a program also heard on Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Well, police in Tennessee said two burglary suspects were arrested when they tried to sell stolen items at a pawn shop where the victim works. The Clarksville Police Department said in a Facebook post that 30-year-old Jeremy Watts and 24-year-old Jessica Heedy were arrested when they took stolen items from a burglary to a pawn shop where the man whose home they burglarized works. Of course, the victim recognized the items and then found that his house had been burglarized, the post said. The victim called police and the pair were arrested at the shop. They were booked into the Montgomery County Jail. Well, I'm not going to point fingers, but someone in this story has really good luck, and some folks don't. We can just call it karma. And a drinker who could not pay his bar bill left his clothes at the pub as collateral as he headed off naked to get cash, according to Czech police. The man walked through the town of Přerov in the early afternoon on Monday, dressed only in ankle-length black socks, talking on a mobile phone, according to security camera footage that has been seen, and you can check out online, by the way. Police officers soon found the man, who explained that he just popped across town to another pub to get some cash. He was allowed to complete his quest, really, and eventually settled the bill, got his clothes back, and put them on. City police said they handed the case over to state police for further investigation. Okay, I've seen the video, and this guy is just strolling down the street in his birthday suit. What I want to know is, when he was dressed, was he going commando? I mean, he's still wearing socks, so why is he not at least keeping on his underwear? Did the bar he owed ask for all of his clothing, and if so, why would they let him keep his socks? Clearly there are details of the story that are missing. Further investigation is necessary. And a 1,300-strong flock of sheep had to be rounded up in a Spanish city after their shepherd fell asleep. Police in Huesca got the unusual alert that the large flock was running around trying to navigate the streets and causing a huge commotion. The shepherd was supposed to be guiding the sheep past the city to hills where the animals could graze during the warm summer months. Police found the herder, who was still dozing, and with his help were able to move the sheep away from the city. Now, okay, let's just simply state the obvious here about the shepherd's state. Clearly, he was counting too many sheep. Yeah, I said it. Anyway, we're at the end of the program, boys and girls. You know what that means? Yes, it's time now for the Idiot of the Day.
And now it's time for the strange things adults do. The Stuff File presents the Idiot of the Day.
Authorities say a Northern California woman was arrested after she scooped up a fawn from a rural road and attempted to sell the animal on Craigslist. The San Francisco Chronicle reports 28-year-old Lacey Jean David of Ukiah posted the ad asking $300 for the baby deer. She posted a photo with the ad. State game wardens set up a sting to meet her and buy the deer. She says she picked up the creature in Mendocino County at about 2 a.m. It is illegal to pick up a fawn and sell it online. David was arrested at the sting on an unrelated warrant for failure to appear in a prior drug case. Now, the question has to be asked. Unless you were overly traumatized as a kid watching Bambi, then why, oh why, would you try to sell a fawn you picked up in the woods on Craigslist? One reason, and one reason only, you're an idiot!
Gee, I'm only a kid, but even I know you're an idiot.
And that's it for this edition of the Stuff File program number 0364. Hope you enjoyed it. The website is thestufffile.com, and once again, stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H, where you'll find information and links on all of our guests by going to the weekly Stuff File page. Just look for the corresponding program number, and once again, that's 0364. Email me at peter@thestufffile.com. You can also find me on Facebook and Twitter as P.A. Holder, and don't forget to check out the Stuff File store where you can purchase a plethora of Stuff File merchandise, from t-shirts to mugs to tote bags to mouse pads. Hope to see you back here for our next show on the air, online, or as a download. We're coming to you from everywhere, including CyberStationUSA.com, GDPR Revolution 99, KDXRadio.com, AirChecker, Canada's number one radio source, PCJ Radio International and its partner stations, TrueTalkRadio.com, downloaded on iTunes, streaming on Stitcher, and over the air on World FM in New Zealand, MediaCorp in Singapore, and WSTJ in St. Johnsbury, Vermont. That's it. Bye-bye.
Been getting jiggy with Peter Anthony Holder and the Stuff File program, a presentation of Flying Fish Communications. He's a bad mamma jamma, and after he spends some chill time in his crib, he'll be back to get down with his bad self. Word up.